This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. How much does the NSA know about you? How much should the NSA know about you? Some of the questions raised by revelations that the spy agency has indeed gathered information on American citizens in the U.S. President Obama announced plans last week to reform the agency's domestic surveillance program. But the questions remain, did the NSA go too far, or are they simply doing what needs to be done to protect the American people? Joining us now to address these questions and more are Ray McGovern, former CIA officer turned activist who was recently in our area to give a talk. Ray, welcome. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Frank.
Also joining us, David Schanzer, associate professor at Duke Sanford School of Public Policy and the director of the Triangle Center of Terrorism and Homeland Security. David, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Let me stay with you, David, and ask some of the technical points. We say the NSA is spying on American people. Explain the surveillance program. What was going on?
Well, I think the term spying is very inflammatory in a lot of ways. We're doing surveillance on American citizens pursuant to warrants issued by judges if somebody is suspected to be a criminal. There are warrants issued by our Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court if we suspect somebody's an agent of a foreign power. And Edward Snowden has revealed one particular program where metadata, basically our telephone billing records, is being collected, saved for up to 5 years, and then analyzed if there is a known terrorist telephone number, and we try to find out who that individual may have been in contact with. So that describes the scope of what I know about the extent the NSA is looking at data on Americans.
And there weren't warrants issued for the billing data, right? I mean, just to separate that.
No, there isn't. Matter of fact, a 1979 Supreme Court case has said that a warrant isn't necessary for information that's essentially been given over to the telephone company. You've kind of sacrificed your privacy. Now, that might be reconsidered at some point, but that's the law as it stands now.
All right. Ray McGovern, what's wrong with that? Anything?
Well, what's wrong with that actually is very evident on page A14 of the New York Times today, where that famous Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board that was set up by Congress 7 years ago made its first pronouncement. And what it said was, after an exhaustive examination, we find that the benefits provided by this bulk phone call records business is minimal, that the effort itself is illegal, and it should be shut down. You know, one can get a lawyer to justify just about everything. No offense to anybody else, but let me just say that there's a Fourth Amendment that I swore a solemn oath to support and defend. And it says the right of the American people to be secure. So it's really about security. To be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants. Here we go with the warrants. No warrants shall issue except upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the areas to be searched and the things and the people to be seized. Now, there's no probable cause in this bulk collection. It's a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution. And that's why a lot of us are really, really upset. There is no way to defend that. The last thing I'll say here is that my best guide here are the previous directors of the NSA. And when two of them found out what NSA was doing in the person of General Michael Hayden, after it was revealed by James Risen of the New York Times, one of them, that is Bill Odom, said that Hayden should be court-martialed because that's against the first commandment out at NSA, namely, thou shalt not eavesdrop on Americans without a warrant. Now, when we talk about warrants, the reason for the Fourth Amendment was because the British had general warrants. They could go into any home. They could seize anything. They could search anything. That is particularly why there is a Fourth Amendment. And the second NSA director, Bobby Ray Inman, who actually helped draft the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, said about Michael Hayden that he clearly broke the law, that there was no way that what has been acknowledged now can be squared with the law, and that he knew, that is, Inman knew, because he drafted a lot of the law and even insisted on putting one sentence into that law which says nothing that is not specifically allowed under this law can be undertaken. So,
well, David, let me ask you to talk about that case, David.
Well, there's a lot to be said here, but first, people should understand that these are the metadata program, and I do have mixed feelings about it. I'm not a 100% advocate of it, but it's essentially just the records of who individuals called. It's not looking at the content of any telephone calls. And I think all of us have to ask ourselves the question, if we know that Al-Qaeda is using a particular telephone number, would we like to know everybody in the United States that that person has communicated with? If we have two telephone numbers, wouldn't we like to know an individual who both of them have communicated with? Now, this is the way that our government decided to try to answer that question. I think the answer is yes, we would like to know who those people are. Now, if there's another way to do it, and President Obama has said in his speech, has tasked, let's try to find a different way that would be more acceptable to a wide variety of American people. But on this accountability issue, let me just make the point. The program has been reviewed 15 times by judges on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court and found to be constitutional each time. Those are federal district judges appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate. And then in a civil proceedings, we've had two cases, and they've gone separate ways. So 16 judges have found in favor of the program, one of them against. It's been reviewed within the executive branch by current directors, their general counsels, and it's gone before Congress, which has approved it and has been well aware and on multiple occasions. So it's not as if all three branches of our federal government have passed to some extent on this program.
Well, to some extent. So there are questions about how legal and where it's legal and where it isn't. So let's talk, because you, David, talked about the practicality of this. Look, wouldn't we like to know if somebody was in communication with a sworn enemy of the United States? That's assuming that everybody's going to be an honest broker with the information. But we have seen that people can stitch together a narrative. There's your phone number over there, and I have a vendetta against you, and I'm in the... This has happened in the annals of government and in the annals of power. And here's one of the reasons why I believe our Constitution was written the way it was, is to protect against this misuse of information that can be obtained by a very powerful force. Well, what about that?
Absolutely. And that's, we have in our history with the Church Committee findings about what was essentially rogue agencies that had no oversight mechanisms, both the FBI and the CIA, spying on Martin Luther King, doing all kinds of things for political reasons. But I think that those agencies have ingrained in them that history and very much understand that their legitimacy, their future, and even the people's careers depends upon staying in the very firm lines that have been created by law in reaction to many of those events. So, you know, people say that, well, Snowden is a whistleblower, but he hasn't really uncovered abuse in the sense of waste, fraud, and abuse because there's no allegations really that these agencies have gone outside of the lines that have been prescribed for them by our elected officials, by president, by Congress, and by the Intelligence Surveillance Court. So there's been no findings of illegal use of this data, of abusive use of this data. People have questions about whether it should be collected at all and whether it's being used appropriately, but there is no evidence of that kind of abuse of individual privacy for personal reasons, for political vendettas, to discriminate against individuals. And the president's guidelines that he introduced just the other day after the speech try to go even further to ensure the public that there's a sufficient oversight to make sure that this data won't be abused.
Ray McGovern, are you satisfied with the president's new ideas about how to conduct surveillance?
No, not at all. I'm forced to conclude that the president is afraid of these very powerful people. You hinted, Frank, at the possibility of blackmail. Well, this is J. Edgar Hoover on steroids. The president's own phone records, and much more can be gained out of metadata, and can be gained by trying to monitor the content of all these phones. That's what the experts tell me at NSA. So, you know, the laws cannot be not consonant with the Constitution. I'm glad that David mentioned the complicity of Congress and these judges at the FISA court who acted in secret. After all, now, this program has been going on for 12 years, okay? Now, 5 years ago, they decided that they would try to make it legal. And they tried to shoehorn it into a completely different kind of law, which was the Patriot Act. It doesn't fit, and that's what this panel says yesterday, or the report comes out today. And so the question really is two things. Even if you suggest that it's unconstitutional but somehow legal, then you have to look at, well, why is it achieved? Now, the president's own review panel said zero terrorist plots have been foiled or thwarted, or whatever adjective they use, by these methods. And so does this panel. So does this privacy panel say exactly the same thing. So if no good results have come of this, why is it that the president is reluctant to just end it?
We are out of time. Ray McGovern, I want to thank you for being on the program with David Chancer as well. Ray McGovern, former CIA officer, now activist. David Chancer, associate professor at Duke University Sanford School of Public Policy and the director of the Triangle Center of Terrorism and Homeland Security. Thank you both. Up next, we get a preview of Carla Holloway's new book, Legal Fictions. Hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.